again, and welcome to Kitchen Finks, for a casual Magic podcast focusing on 60-card multiplayer and occasionally branching out. I'm your host, Kendall. With me, as always, is Ian.
Hi, guys.
And Will.
Hey, folks.
All right, so we'll be a little bit timely this week, and last night, so probably 2 weeks ago, by the time the episode gets posted, actually, we've been... Theoretically, Molly's been better about posting stuff on time. We'll see what happens with this episode. So there were some bannings and some unbannings that happened that were announced with a new set.
We don't talk about Modern much, but they are kind of important. Deathrite Shaman got banned, and Bitter Blossom, and... Wild Nacatl got unbanned.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested to see what this leads to. I think Zoo will become a thing again, mm-hmm. and we'll see if it pushes robots out or if robot stays a thing.
I saw speculation on Twitter that between the unbanning of Bitter Blossom and a couple of other signals, there's a reasonable speculation that the... Modern event deck that they are going to make will be black-white tokens.
Huh.
Which...
yeah, unbanned Bitter Blossom. I have a feeling they wouldn't unban Bitter Blossom and then immediately put it into an event deck. Because sort of like with Modern Masters, they said they weren't going to... They weren't going to print anything that was on the watch list... Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling they would not immediately, because they don't know, it could completely take over the format.
I wonder how far in advance they plan the bannings, though. They may have planned it and tested that for a million.
Well, yeah, but times. I mean, yeah, but still, Wizards is putting out new cards, and that's where the vast, vast majority of their testing goes into, new cards. Like, they're not going to... I highly doubt that, like, there's more than a handful of people whose job it is to playtest unbanning formats.
Sure.
If they do any of that. Because they don't really playtest for Legacy. They've sort of come out and said that. So, obviously, Modern is they're trying to push. So there probably was some. But I just, like... Even if they did test and they feel it's fair, and I do think that Bitter Blossom probably is fair. I've never actually played with it, but it looks like it's a card that dies to naturalize. As long as you don't have two fairies out, I guess
it does. I'll say it's pretty good. But,
yeah, the thing is, for two mana. You know, and it's splashable. It's a black and a generic. You're getting a constant stream of flying blockers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it gums up aggro decks because you've got so many, you know, these constant free blockers. Plus, you know, they can attack later. Plus, it's a tribal card. It's a fairy.
Yeah,
and that mattered. And it still kind of does.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. No.
It's quite good for two mana.
No. So. I'm not saying... I think it's probably fine, but I also think that, I mean, at the very least, because I feel like a lot of people that play Modern are unoriginal, and so I think that's part of the reason that when a deck becomes dominant, it becomes very dominant in Modern, because there's a lot of people playing it for who just play it for PTQ season. Or who are, you know, just trying it out. And so, you know, we could have Bitter Blossom come out in it, and just everybody just plays fairies because they unban Bitter Blossom or something like that. Like, I highly doubt that it'll be in the event deck. Maybe it'll be in... Modern Masters 2 or something.
Keep in mind that the next Pro Tour is not that far off, and will be modern, I believe. So there will be at least a new variety of innovative decks, because the Pro Tours seem to be where a lot of new decks are made that last for a while.
Well, and I was on Magic Online today, and this is going to be a shakeup for the format, because there were tons of people who were either playing Modern, like it was as a Modern, the rules were that it was Modern, and then the comment said post-banning, or they were playing Freeform, and it said post-banning. So, like Modern post-banning, like, so that they could play the cards that had come out of being banned. I mean, I think it, at very least with them unbanning two cards that were very powerful cards, I don't think Wild Nacatl needed to be banned, necessarily, or at least, like, in the current...
Not anymore.
Yeah, at least not anymore. I'm super excited that I think that's like if I decide to go all in on Modern, I'm probably going to build a Zoo deck because of that. That's just sort of the kind of deck I like to play. Mm-hmm. Also, I've seen a few people who are upset with the banning of Deathrite Shaman, or who are convinced that it's that it's a bad thing or whatever.
Yeah.
To me, if that's not going to kill Jund. Jund is good because it has all of the good cards in it.
Deathrite Shaman was a better mana elf that served as a hate card against a couple of different things, but there is enough in the Modern format that I agree that something else that has slightly different benefits will arise that I think will be sufficient. It may change how the deck works a bit, but I think it will be sufficient to make a similar deck.
Deathrite Shaman it's like a one mana planeswalker, and it was showing up in like 30-40% of decks. That was too much.
It was, and my biggest thing too is Jund was a deck before Deathrite Shaman was printed. Like, it was the dominant deck in Modern. You did have Bloodbraid Elf then, but I don't think that Bloodbraid Elf and Deathrite Shaman fill the same role in that deck.
Yeah.
I'm actually not familiar enough with the way the deck looks now, because I sort of fell away from Modern after they banned Bloodbraid Elf.
Is Modern Jund still playing four colors?
Yes, yes. It's definitely still playing four.
Plus white.
Up to now. I can look up a list real fast. MTGonline.com. Let's look at the most recent Modern Daily event. Because it was just... I was actually playing around with Modern a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, and it's just
and seeing
still everywhere.
Goyf, Deathrite Shaman, Dark Confidant, Scavenging Ooze, Grim Lava Mancer, and Olivia Voldaren. Abrupt Decay, Lightning Bolt, Thought Seize, Inquisition of Kozilek, Liliana of the Veil.
Mm-hmm. So that, Olivia at least is that the one, four drop, right?
Yeah, but there's only one, and at least in this list, there's only one Olivia, and there's no white.
So this list has, this one doesn't have Lingering Souls in it either. That's interesting.
Olivia again in this.
I got Confidant, Deathrite Shaman, Scavenging Ooze, Tarmogoyf, Thundermaw Hellkite.
Thundermaw.
So it looks like probably Scavenging Ooze actually replaced, or has, well, I mean, Scavenging Ooze, they definitely weren't playing before.
I thought I'd seen it occasionally, at least.
Well, I mean, Scavenging Ooze, they weren't playing it before it was legal in Modern.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Because there wasn't a Scavenging Ooze was after, it got printed in M14 after Bloodbraid Elf was banned.
Right, okay.
I'm seeing Molten Rain in one of these.
I mean, that makes sense. Okay, this one has actually a Johnny Vengeance and Souls.
Yeah, so that's like the John Dad White version.
Yeah, so definitely it's Dark Confidant, Deathrite Shaman, Scavenging Ooze, and Tarmogoyf, I think, are in all of the lists. And then it's just, you know, it varies. You know, obviously.
But yeah, they all play Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah, and they definitely all play Deathrite Shaman. And it just feels like a lot of them. The other format I've been playing is, I've played some Popper the last few days, and it's just, that's a miserable format. It's wide open as long as you want to play a blue deck that doesn't let your opponent do anything. It's actually not nearly as bad as it used to be, because now when I lose every single game miserably because I can't do anything, it happens relatively quickly because it's like Delver decks and stuff like that. Before it was the Cloud Post decks that were just, ugh. Okay, and the other banning that happened is a little more relevant for our crowd. Sylvan Primordial was banned in Commander.
Joining Primeval Titan.
Yeah.
Green decks I'm not don't have entirely it. Surprised.
I haven't played with it. It must be a hugely relevant card because my buddy Nick did an alter. He said he posted on Facebook, he said right after he did the altar of the Sylvan Primordial, just so that he could, like, have it to trade, it gets banned in EDH.
Which is the only format where people play it.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe it can replace Deathrite Shaman in Modern
Death. Oh, yeah, with a 7-drop Primordial Shark.
A 7-drop that gives you a land.
Talk about redundancy.
I don't see it as, like, being degenerate. I mean, like, Primeval Titan, you can easily see why they would ban it in Commander, because, you know, it adds, like, a lot of consistency, which is something you generally want to steer away from, and there's a lot of powerful lands from throughout Magic's history, and it can get anyone. You know, it's pretty clear that can be degenerate in EDH, but Sylvan Primordial?
I can see it being more unfun for everyone, just like...
Well, it searches for forest cards, not basic forest cards.
Yeah.
So there might be something. I don't know if there are any degenerate forest cards out there.
I think adds Grove or whatever is not good enough for it to really be.
But
that
if
different.
You could, I mean, I could see it. I could see it definitely, like, destroy target non-creature permanent. Like, if you got it, if you were blinking it. I mean, I played with Sylvan Primordial and Standard, so obviously it's good.
I think this is the first time I've ever done a Gatherer search where the subtype is Forest.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was just about to do that.
There is Dryad Arbor, there's like Bayou, you know, the old awesome one.
Well, yeah,
there's the two Shocklands, Murmuring Bosque.
There's Forest.
Steep Forest. Enters battlefield tapped, and you can pay green and tap it to gain a life as long as you control at least two green permanents. That's not very good. Savannah, Snow-Covered Forest. Temple Guard, yeah, that's pretty much it. So there's old, awesome lands like Taiga, the Shocklands, and a couple of kind of meh.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is probably it destroys target non-creature permanent, one for each opponent, and then you get a bunch of lands. It must be that people were, I mean, I haven't played enough, like, pseudo-competitive EDH to know. My Facebook friends who play EDH a little bit more competitively than me were happy about the banning. I could definitely see, I mean, yeah, like, pairing it with whatchamacallit, what's the one guy called, the Soulbond Blinker guy?
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see that being some shenanigans in EDH. You just blow up a bunch of people's lands, you get all your lands, you get all their... Also, EDH tends to have, like, random enchantments and artifacts and a lot more non-creature permanence than like, a one-on-one.
But does that actually make it bannable? I don't know. There's lots of ways to kill a bunch of non-creatures.
Yeah, well, let's see what their explanation was. What is it, mtgcommander.com? I mean, I was definitely surprised by the banning myself. I'm not as upset about this as I was about Primeval Titan, but it's probably just because I'm okay. Well, first of all, I think I like all of the primordials that I've played with equally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the white one. I think that's the... And I think I played with the blue one. What does the blue one do?
Blue one is cast things out of the opponent's decks, right? Or something?
Or graveyard.
Graveyard, maybe? Yeah.
I don't think I ever played with the blue one. Internet, stop being slow. I guess mtgcommander.com must be overwhelmed. I'm also trying to get the Magic News website loaded. Oh, it's gatheringmagic.com, looks like.
Diluvian Primordial, is that what you're looking at?
I don't know.
It's a 5/5 flying for 7. When it enters the battlefield for each opponent, you may cast up to one target instant or sorcery card from that player's graveyard without paying its mana cost. If the card cast this way, we've been to a graveyard exile instead.
That's interesting. I don't know. Graveyard shenanigans are always fun. And then what did the red one do? Since we're
Molten Primordial is 6/4 haste. For 7, and I guess they're at cost 7. But when it enters the battlefield for each opponent, gain control of up to one target creature that player controls until end of turn, untap them, and they gain haste.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. And then what about the black one?
The black one, Sepulchral Primordial. When it enters the battlefield for each opponent, you may put up to one target creature card from that player's graveyard onto the battlefield. You reanimate one thing from each person.
Yeah.
It's a 5/4 intimidate.
That's pretty good.
Which is really good when your opponent's had a... Primordial that you killed too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that that's very powerful, but I also think it's not NPE negative. That's a Star Wars cards term. Negative play experience. Like, it's not something that's going to turn into mass land destruction.
Sure.
What the heck? Stupid internet. Okay. Official commander rules. Last updated, blah, blah, blah. Okay, this doesn't have explanations on it. Wasn't on Daily MTG, was it?
I'm not actually sure where it was. I only saw it through Twitter.
See a lot of opinion threads about it, but I'm not seeing any announcement with an explanation. Oh, wait. This one links to the announcement.
MTGCommander.net.
Okay. I see it. That said, there's one card that has drawn an increasing amount of ire over the past year. We feel Sylvan Primordial is causing far more problems than his contributions, and the format will be better off without it. It meets many of the heuristic markers for a banned card insofar as it invalidates many other creatures as search targets and causes arguments about whether its use is degenerate or reasonable. It can be easily accelerated into a turn 4 or 5. It can be accelerated into on turn 4 or 5, at which point it turns a reasonable ramp deck into uninteresting games.
That's interesting to me. It says it can create arguments as to whether or not its use is fair or degenerate. I haven't seen it played that much, and I do like the design of the Primordials.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be similar to why I don't like the way that's described. One of the reasons I don't like Extort is that I feel like it's a mechanic that was designed to be strong and very strong in multiplayer, and yet still like viable in duels, but that they didn't really care how strong they made it in multiplayer. Sort of like the 2-mana thing that gives you an angel every turn from Zendikar. Certain cards, I feel like, I mean, it's cool that they designed for multiplayer, but I wish that it would be that they would design those cards that were to be balanced in multiplayer rather than just like super powerful in multiplayer.
I was just saying that they seem to be most cautious with green in EDH just because green is the color that does best what EDH tends to want to do, which is, you know, play a game until you get 12 mana and do stupid, idiotic, over-the-top things with your, you know, 12, 15 mana craziness.
Yeah, I don't know. Because my opinion of EDH, I mean, they've only been banning with first Primeval Titan and now this, they've been like, there are broken cards from throughout Magic's history.
Yeah.
You know, ban Skull Clamp and the Blow Up a Land card, Strip Mine, and like, if you're gonna have a ban list because you're trying to create a balanced format,
mm-hmm.
like, the fact that it's, I mean, and there's, because there's plenty of, like, there's plenty of just insanely broken cards that are in EDH, and it really, I mean, it kind of bugs me that they're gonna ban the cards that are affordable,
mm-hmm.
or that are newly printed. I mean, I don't know. And obviously you can play, you know, with your casual group and say, we don't want to do this, but I feel like that opens up a can of worms because you say, well, you can't, well, you're going to play with that. Well, then I'm going to play with my, you know, my Emrakul or, you know, I'm going to play, because there are certain cards that I think should be banned in the format. And I don't think that people, I don't know, and, you know, we sort of all always talk about the mythical regular play group. I think it's really hard to get a group together regular enough that you can create your own ban list for the group.
Right.
And
you have, you probably do it often enough that you have your own opinions as a group as to what you like and what you don't.
Right, and that's great, and that's the whole, you know.
But those people probably don't need us to talk to them because they've already probably figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fine. I don't know. I really like the design of the Primordials. The more I think about it, like, I mean, if you're in green, you're gonna get a million mana. Like, there's ways to get a million mana. It's just, I don't know. The only way I can think of it being degenerate is doing that thing where you're where you're blinking it, like if you can find a way to repeatedly blink it, but which that
I mean, that's after cloud shift or something, or
you say Snapcaster cloud shift.
I said Isochron Scepter Cloud
Shift. Oh, Isochron Scepter. Okay, I was going to say, Snapcaster Cloud Shift doesn't sound like a very powerful... Yeah, you got to do it twice. No, I don't know. It's probably fine. I think I probably have to go into my Omnath deck and take that out. I'm sure there's
I need to double-check my green-black ones and make sure it's not in.
But. Yeah, there's big... I mean, there's plenty of... There's no shortage of big, dumb creatures. It's just kind of a shame, because the Primordials are just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're the closest thing that we had that we had to Titans in a while. I mean, ban Vorinclex for crying out loud. If you're going to ban one of these big, dumb creatures, ban Vorinclex. I mean, come on. Unban Primeval Titan, ban Vorinclex. Like, as much as I love Vorinclex as a card, it's just so miserable. Or like, I don't know. Ban him as anything but the general or something. I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit... I didn't realize how bitter I was about this random
thing. Yeah, you're turning into a bit of a blossom yourself. We're all taking one damage.
What'd you say? I turned into a bitter blossom?
You're turning into a bit of a blossom yourself. You said
a bit
there.
Of a blossom. Okay. Okay.
Yep,
so the other thing that happened, is we had pre-release. So Ian, you did not go to a pre-release, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so your pre-release experience was probably better than mine then.
Did you have a bad experience?
Well, it was... I don't know, it's the first like, public Magic event that I've gone to in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a midnight pre-release. So people were not exactly... The socially awkward people were not exactly at their best.
Right.
And also, I mean, there were 50 people at this midnight pre-release. So we were all crammed into a little bit too small of a space. I don't know what they could, given the store, I don't know, it was at Pack Rat, and I don't know what they could do to open it up, because they sort of have a corner of the store that's devoted to for their gaming, which is really great for about 20 or 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got to up to 50, it was just like a little bit too bad, and then it was a midnight, so a bunch of people smelled bad, and a bunch of people were drinking Monster Energy drinks, so it smelled like BO and energy drinks, which I think if I was used to going to events and stuff, I could probably it wouldn't have bugged me as much and stuff. But the biggest thing was I did poorly.
How poorly?
I went. Are we back? Or am I back? I dropped from the call.
Yes.
Yeah, you dropped.
Okay.
Yeah, you're back.
You did so poorly at pre-release that it crashed your internet.
Yeah, I did. I ended up at 2-4.
Okay.
I had a black red deck. I got the red, the black red god.
Bogus.
Yeah, who is okay. Like, I resolved him a lot, and you would think that he would be a lot better. Than he was, but I think it was more like my deck didn't have, like, I wasn't putting enough pressure on my opponent as it was. So a lot of times my opponent could just be like, oh, I'll just take two life. Because he either, basically, at the beginning of their upkeep, your opponent either sacrifices a creature or loses two life, they choose. And sure. So it was like, most of the time they would just lose two life, or sometimes they would have a little random creature to kill. And if my turn 1, 2, 3, I was really putting pressure on them, I think that that it could have been more relevant. Or alternatively, if the games had been really grindy, I think that the god could have been more relevant. But I think I was either dominating because I was playing against people that didn't really have very strong decks, or that didn't really or they were mana screwed or something like that. So either I was dominating or I was just losing. I opened the Pain Seer.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was cool, but the problem is that in order to get his ability, you have to untap him.
Yeah, so you basically either have to attack, and he's only a 2-2, or mm-hmm. find something else to do.
Which there's a decent amount of in the set, but it still requires, like, construction.
Yeah, I got that aura that you tap to deal 2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I mean, if you're trying to get card advantage, that's card disadvantage.
Right.
You know, and you're taking... I think it's a little different in something like Modern, where your whole deck is cost 3 or less, than if you have, like, a random 7-drop floating around in your deck. The Dark Confidant ability is a little bit less, so... He wasn't super game-breaking, but... I think... I felt a lot throughout the night like the format was very reliant on bombs in the same way that Abyssin Restored was. So, you know, people would get their god out, or they would get their, you know, whatever, some giant creature out. I think literally every single game that I won was either off the back of the god, or I actually, even though I was in black, I got the red promo. I opened it. The dragon that makes somebody mm-hmm. unblockable.
Yeah.
It
makes somebody unable to block.
Yeah. There was a lot of removal. It seems like there's a lot of removal in the set, but it's,
conditional.
But the creatures are, well, it's removal that's really good against little creatures, and the creatures are a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could have been because I was playing pre-release sealed, and I think sealed, especially at pre-release, people tend to use the big dumb creatures rather than the super fast aggressive stuff. So it might be more relevant in draft or even in sealed down the road. But I don't know. Not quite on board with this format. Mm-hmm. How was your experience, Will? Because you said you wanted to.
A couple of things. First thing. What I heard most was that people were saying that green was the thing that was doing the best, which was interesting to hear. I, however, had chosen black.
That's a really big surprise, Will. I would never see you playing black cards.
Yeah, you know. I figured I'd play to my strengths. I had a really different experience than you did. Basically, I had one rare that was worth much, which was the Herald, which is the bestow creature that is a 3/3 flying for 3 that does 1 damage to you at the start of your turn.
Mm-hmm.
So that card was very good, but my deck felt like it was, you know, slightly more powerful than average, like, uncommons. So I definitely did not feel that my deck was a bomby kind of deck. However, I went 3-1. The round that I lost was... I lost a game where I died on turn 5 because of, like, a really unlikely amazing draw, which, you know, my opponent built his deck such that it was capable of that, which is great, and all more power to him. But the other two games, like, it took him significantly more than that to be able to put pressure on me. So it seemed like it was, you know, lucky draw, happens to everybody, that's fine.
Yeah.
My deck had a decent amount of removal. It had a... It had the Asphyxiate. It had a couple other things that would let me kill things. But also I just had some decent creatures. I went almost exclusively black, and I did splash green, partially for Reaper of the Wilds, which was my other only good card. But I also had to play some interesting slash questionable cards. Like the 2/2 for 3 that returns an enchantment creature from your graveyard to your hand. Just stuff like...
Did you not have targets for that?
Because I was running green, I had enough. It just seemed... I had, like, Separate, I believe, which seemed
just
like...
Just a lot of targets.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot considering, but it was like, you know, that's got to be good.
I was going to say, did you have at least, like, 2 or 3?
Oh, yeah, no. I almost ran 2 of them, but it's like, okay, I like Gravedigger as much as... Or probably more than the next guy. But right. I don't know if this is worth it just on its own without being able to use the ability that requires white. Mm-hmm. But I played the Unholy Strength Bestow Creature. I played the Bestow Creature that does 2 damage to the opponent when it attacks. By the way, that card is way better than it looks. It is an uncommon that is just a 1/1 for 2 mana that does damage to the opponent when it attacks. But I did that, and a combination of that and a little bit of removal made me almost exclusively kill my opponent with just that card. Once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a mini Hellrider.
Yeah, I mean, not bad for your 2 mana, especially because it only costs, I believe, 4 to bestow, which is pretty good as well. So, it... was definitely nice bolting my opponent every turn. So yeah, that worked pretty well. Like I said, I went 3-1. A friend of mine was there. He and I both ended up winning 4 prize packs. So afterwards, he and I drafted just amongst ourselves. And I built a Minotaur tribal deck out of that, which was fun as well.
Did you the one card that I kind of liked the sort of unique to pre-releaseness of was the eye gouge. Did you get eye gouge?
I got one. I did not. I almost ran red in the pre-release itself. I did not end up doing it. I got it in the 2-person draft, but he was like playing blue-white or something. So
that's one that gives target creature -1/-1, but if it's a Cyclops, it destroys it.
If it's a Cyclops, it destroys it.
Yep. Which is fantastic flavor.
There are Cyclopses in the format. That people play. Like, I played against a guy that had 4 Cyclopses in his deck. Because he had, like, too many copies of the 5/2 for 4. Which is slightly better than you would think at first glance. Because I was thinking, because there's a big difference between 2 toughness and 1 toughness.
Sure.
And usually those high power, low toughness creatures are bad, but 2 toughness, I think, is... Because I'm more than happy to play a 4/2, so why wouldn't I want to play a 5/2? I'd probably play a 4/2 for 4, but I wouldn't play a 5/2 for 4 for some reason. Probably because I am bad at magic.
The ruling on eye gouge. It says, if the creature is a Cyclops, it'll get -1/-1 before it's destroyed.
Huh. I like that.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty important.
It could be. I'm not quite sure when, but...
because it wouldn't matter if you had a regeneration shield on it, because it would still die from the -1/-1, whether it was before or after, because it wouldn't get removed after regeneration shield. So yeah, I don't know when that would be relevant, but
there's got to be something where death triggers depend on these power or toughness of the creature that died, but
so it could have a minor effect at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's true. Like if a target creature, when this creature dies, it deals damage equal to its power or something like that.
That kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like even if it doesn't exist now, it might exist 5 years from now.
Yeah. There's a card in EDH that I've seen that does that. You know, when a creature dies, it does damage, or sacrifice, it does damage. I don't know. But there's got to be something. Surely there's something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was definitely fun. I'm considering building a bad standard deck, mono-black aggro with the Herald. And possibly with that 1/1 bestowed creature, just because. So it was pretty fun.
What 1/1 bestowed creature?
The one that does 2 damage to the opponent every time you attack with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That seems pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else did you do in Magic?
In Magic, the pre-release and that side draft were most of it. I also did a small amount of Cube on Friday, which turned out pretty well. It was just a two-person thing just because we were fiddling around after doing other stuff, but it was fun. I have a very good track record with my Cube, especially against that person in particular, so it went well for me, but it was fun regardless.
I don't mean to be down on my pre-release experience. I'm sure that it was overall a really good experience, and it was a lot of fun to to be back. I felt like I was back in the in the playing tournaments-ness of it. And there were some people that I hadn't seen for a while, because I only ever saw them at Friday Night Magic. So that was really nice. Really nice seeing the old buddies.
Is it their fault that you played so poorly?
Yes, it's not their fault that I played so poorly. And really, it's not even. I think if I was used to dealing with some of the competitive players and the socially questionable players, you know, everybody thinks that they're the best Magic player ever, and that they're the first ones to think of XYZ strategy, or that their strategy is the best. I think the thing that actually bugged me the most is people talking about people open up they're like, I only got one rare in the right color that I can play. And it's like, that probably doesn't say very much, because like you said, Will, if the format's good at all, then your rares should be irrelevant. I mean, obviously if you have a bomb rare, another part of the reason that I was complaining a little bit about the bomb rares of the format, I did win the first round against this person, and she didn't draw her Elspeth, but she ended up basically winning out. And I mean, I felt like as bad as my deck was, I felt like her deck was built kind of worse, but she ended up just riding Elspeth through the rest of the tournament. And there was another person who got the black-white god, which I don't know, not black-white, black-blue god, and he built a mill deck.
Yeah.
And it was the same sort of thing. He was doing very, very well in the tournament. And I mean, he's a... I forget which guy. I think it was a younger player, which is great. You know, if it's going to be somebody that sort of wins off the back of that, and his deck may have been. I mean, there's definitely plenty of mill cards in the set, which is I always like mill as a sub theme, but it's just like it felt very bomb centered, and I don't like that. And I think also that the whole get to play with your pre-release card thing, it is a good, I think it probably is, it is fun to play with your pre-release card. I kind of wish that they didn't do it every set. Like, is that, they've done it every set since, except for Dragon's Maze, right? Since Return to Ravnica?
I think so.
Because they did in Return to Ravnica and Gatecrash. I don't think they did it in Dragon's Maze. Because the card was Maze's End, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. I think that's right.
And then I think that they did it for Theros. I think you could play with your pre-release card in Theros. I like it. I mean, I like doing it, but I do think that it makes it so that everybody has a bomb, which is, like, a little bit... And also, I think it sort of loses some of its specialness when you do it every time.
Mine, I only actually got to use once, and it did win me the game, but only because I had the correct combat trick to trump my opponent's combat trick.
Yeah, well, I didn't, I resolved the red one several times. I never resolved my, my actual pre-release promo, but still, like, it's just, I don't know. And then either the pre-release promos have to be kind of, like, boring, because they're doing five different ones, or one of them has to be more powerful than the other ones. It just, I don't know. I kind of would like to just go back to the days where they would print one of the Chase Mythic Rares, you know, give me Sun Titan as my pre-release promo. And
use it.
I mean, think about some of the pre-release promos that they had back, you know, sort of before Mare of Averbrook. So you had like Wormcoil Engine was a pre-release promo. You had Sun Titan was a pre-release promo. I want to say like it was like Phyrexian Metamor for. That may have been a release promo, because that's a rare.
That was definitely before I was doing pre-releases.
I'm trying to think what the new Phyrexia one was. Oh, I think it was Shieldred, which, even though not like a super standard staple, still a very powerful card.
Sure.
Like, I've just been sort of underwhelmed with most of the pre-release promos since they went to rare instead of mythic rare, and then also now there's five of them. It just kind of dilutes the specialness of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if like people didn't like the having Maze's End be the promo, and so they changed it. Because I know there was definitely some feedback that people really liked it. It's just, and again, I did really like it. I just, not every time, you know. And just like it being like such a weird format that you pick a color and then you get your seeded pack and it's two packs of the new set and three packs of the old set and the seeded pack has cards from the old set in it. I don't know. Sorry for being such a grump. I still like Magic.
Podcasts or listen to your podcasts.
What'd you say?
We signed up for it. It's part of the Kindle image that you portray on my podcast.
I don't want to be the guy that hates everything. I just and I like
it's
the
that everybody
I think I like the set. I think I like the set, in general, at least what I've seen of it, I actually like the gods, like, I think in the big scheme of Magic, and probably they're good for casual. I don't necessarily like what they've done to Standard, and I don't like them for Limited, but fortunately they're Mythic Rares, and probably, I guess you probably won't see as many of them in Draft, because, even if you see more packs, you're only opening, you know, there are only three packs are being opened per person, so you probably won't see as many of them in Draft, and there will be more synergy and stuff like that, so. Mm-hmm. Actually, not even, well, I guess, yeah, whatever.
But, I definitely
think. Go ahead, what were you saying?
I definitely like the effect that Born of the Gods is going to have on the Theros Draft format, which I was not the biggest fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like where things are going. I don't know if it'll be enough to make me like the format. I love the flavor of the Theros format, but wasn't a big fan of the actual play. But hopefully this will help.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
grumble grumble.
Grumble grumble. I don't even like the flavor that much of the Theros format. Like, it just doesn't. I think
no rescue from the underworld.
What'd you say?
not a fan of Rescue from the Underworld?
I don't know what that card does. I'm just in general.
Adrenaline, you reanimate stuff. It's pretty cool. Actually, I do like the flavor, but I'm kind of in the same game as Will, where I don't think... Well, he's even more talking about the draft format. Just in general, for me, I don't find the mechanics that interesting or everlasting.
I don't like it in standard either necessarily.
Right. So. I think Bestow is
a little more boring. Like, I don't know, just evoking decks and stuff.
I'm glad I heard that the new set is gonna, the next set is gonna be, I guess, bottom up as opposed to top down. So I'm hoping that that'll be like more mechanic-y and fun and stuff. I mean, Return to Ravnica block I liked a lot. An Innistrad block I liked, but by the end I was ready for something that was a more traditional fantasy, and I feel like every year when the core set comes out, I think it's going to be traditional fantasy, and it is, except for it's boring. So I don't know what I actually want with Magic.
I think you want Time Spiral. I know I do.
Yeah. I've heard that from a decent number of people. I don't know.
You want it or that they want it?
Yeah, that they want it. I think I want something that's a. I mean, yeah, maybe that's what Time Spiral was, like something that is very traditional fantasy. Like, I want it to feel like I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons with cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because to me, that's what.
I mean, car.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, yes, you pretty much are. Yeah, I mean, that's what Magic in its purest sense is. I think that even with Scars block and Return to Ravnica block, it wasn't quite that traditional because they have those gimmicks. I think that's what gets me, is I just want to play something that feels very, like, sort of it is what it is. Maybe it's telling a story or, and it's not relying so much on those gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
The two-color guilds thing. Like, it's, because by the end of the year, you're tired of the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You just want,
like, Goblin Tribal and Dwarf Tribal and...
Dwarf.
Well,
want a set with a hippogriff in it?
A set with a hippogriff, yeah.
Scorp core.
Well, just like if you could do that with, but really create interest, like have a very simple, maybe have a very simple thing and have it be dragons and goblins and whatever, but then have the cards do interesting and powerful things.
Here's Wizard. Kevin wants Scorp cores.
I want what?
Scorpicors. It's a Minotaur Scorpion.
Oh, okay.
It is the most ridiculous fantasy creature that I tend to default to, so that is why I referenced it.
Yeah. That, then. That +2/+0 equipment. The axe. What is it, like bone... something from Mirrodin.
I know the one you mean, but my mind is blanking on it. Bone Splitter.
Yeah, Bone Splitter. That needs to be in the set too. In all three sets of the block.
You're not a fan of Silver Inlaid Dagger?
Silver Inlaid Dagger? What's that do? I think it's, I like that one.
Very similar, but it is better if you have a human.
Doesn't it cost more to equip? Yeah, it costs 2 to equip.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine too. I like the low impact but playable equipment. I think that Innistrad did a pretty good job of that. It got a little overshadowed by the equipment in Scar's block, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think since then, equipment has sort of been a little bit neglected, and I like good equipment.
I just don't want sword to get him.
Well, no, you don't need. I mean, I think there's a difference between there's a range between having the best equipment being whatever that is. Was it Civic Saber?
Yeah.
Having the best equipment in the set be Civic Saber, and having the best equipment in the set be sort of Feast and Famine.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And the one from Innistrad, the one that
Butcher's Cleaver?
By the, huh?
Butcher's Cleaver?
No, I was thinking the one that is affected by the number of instants and sorceries in your graveyard.
Oh, Root Chainer Spike.
Yeah, that is a good example of one that was interesting and good enough to be used in Standard and cause good gameplay, and there's nothing game-breaking about it.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think if we could just have a few of them in each set, and I would prefer them to be at common or uncommon, because I especially like them in limited. I think Rune Chandra's Pike, I like Rune Chandra's Pike a lot. I don't think it quite fills the role of the equipment that I'm looking for. But, yeah, I think Civic Saber and Butcher's Cleaver Silver Inlay Dagger and Butcher's Cleaver. And I guess Civic Saber is okay. But I don't know. I've been drafting the flashback drafts of Mirrodin, and it's like, it's so much fun drafting a deck that's just like, that you only have to have, like, 5 playable cards of each color, and the rest can just be artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so much fun. I'm not saying I want us to go back to Mirrodin yet or anything.
Return to Mirrodin?
But I do think that the overall proportion of playable artifacts could be a little bit higher, especially
with Mirrodin. I only know of new Phyrexia.
It's like Constantinople. It used to be called Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, but it was Constantinople.
Wait, Istanbul is now called Mirrodin? Weird.
Why that changed it, I can't say. Maybe they liked it better that way.
I know they changed a lot of geography over the world since I was in high school, but that's ridiculous.
All right, well, I'd say we've successfully derailed this. I promise one of these weeks I'll be just, like, super happy about everything Magic. One of these days.
We should play some casual or something. Multiplayer.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get to play the Intra-Pack League. I'm super stoked about that.
I thought you were going to do that this weekend.
That is going to start not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. So after the set's out.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I think technically, you can buy intro decks at the pre-release. I don't know if you can just buy them all week or what the deal is, but yeah, that's going to be, I'm stoked to play the intro pack league.
I'm looking at this post on Reddit. It's called, I wasn't too pleased with the band announcements. And it's a picture of, like, 10 Deathrite Shamans and, like, 50 Sylvan Primordials. Just spread out over a table. Somebody there's a lot of Sylvan Primordials.
Yeah, well, yeah, he probably speculated on Sylvan Primordial.
Yeah.
Because those cards were worth, like, nothing. At least, you know, 6 months ago or whatever, when they were in print.
And then someone's response is, easy, just make 10 EDH decks with Deathrite Shaman and 14 Modern decks with Sylvan Primordial.
Oh, I love it.
That's good. although I ran into a modern, because Modern's opening up now, the Deathrite Shaman or whatever. Or people think it's opening up, even though I think it was already probably pretty open if you actually build it. I ran into a modern ramp deck today that it hard cast Tooth and Nail, like, pretty fast, and got dropped 2 Crater Hoof Behemoths.
I guess if you're going to tooth and nail some things in. That's a pretty interesting one.
Yeah, yeah. He had, and he had like three other creatures out, right? So they were like all just insanely huge.
Mm-hmm.
I had two, because I was playing Mono Blue Delver, this deck that I've been playing around with, and he had two, and I had two blue open and two Vapor Snags, so I could have bounced the two Crater Hoofs. The problem was he had three other creatures with 13 power apiece.
Right.
Which my two little Delvers couldn't quite handle.
Right. They delved too deep.
I suppose. And unleashed a Crater Hoof Behemoth, I guess.
They found the secrets but didn't like them very much.
Right. So,
sorry, I'm starting to bug you.
You can email us at kitchenfigspodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you think about the ban list announcements that happened 3 weeks ago. And I'm at K Hallman on Twitter. Ian's at Lord of the Slith. Will is at Chewter.
That's me.
Until next time.
Don't
be a kitchen fig.